Gracious Father, we come and exalt you this holy night. We praise you that you would love us so much that you would send your only Son into this world to save us from our sins and the brokenness of this place. We bless you, we praise you, we glorify you. We ask that you come meet us right where we are in this moment now. I pray, come Holy Spirit, come speak into every life here. Bring life, bring hope, bring joy, bring peace. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, Merry Christmas again. Okay, I know it's 10 o'clock, but come on, you can do better than the 4 o'clock service. Merry Christmas. Now there you go. Now you're awake. All right. I got to tell you this funny story I recently heard. It's about a 10-year-old girl, and she was with her family and a few friends, and they were driving around their town like many of us do this time of year and looking and admiring all the Christmas lights. Well, they happened upon this one church that had this beautiful nativity scene out front. And so they got out of the car, and they walked up to it, and the little girl's grandmother said, "Look, isn't this beautiful? Look at all the beautiful animals. And there's Mary and Joseph. And look at baby Jesus in the manger." The little girl said, "Yeah, it's grandma. I see it is really nice, but there's one thing that bothers me." Her grandmother said, "What is it?" She goes, "Isn't baby Jesus ever going to grow up? I mean, he's the same size that he was last year." The wisdom, the insight of a child I love, because while that's funny, I think it is so true. It is so true. You see, friends, so often over Christmas, we make it all about a baby Jesus and a manger, and we leave him in the manger all year, only to come back next Christmas and find that he's still in the manger. He hasn't gone anywhere, and our lives are just the same as they were before. You see, we miss Christmas if we leave baby Jesus in the manger, if that's what it's all about. And I fear that Christmas and the excitement of Christmas for so many of us isn't that the singing, the rejoicing because the Savior of the world has come. I think a lot of times Jesus stays in the manger and we make Christmas all about the gifts under the tree tomorrow morning. Now, I don't know about you. I love gifts under the tree in the morning. I might like them more than you do, but I love those beautifully wrapped packages that I open. I don't know what's inside them and I can't wait to find out. And I love watching my family unwrap those gifts and seeing the joy on the faces when they open that and they find that it's something that they'd asked for a long time ago that they'd forgotten about. Like, that's joyful. That is fun. But friends, we miss Christmas if that's all we make it. You see, Christmas is not about a baby lying in a manger. It's about you. It's about me. It's about all of us in this room. It's about a world in desperate need. And a God who came among us to do something about our need. It's about God who knows our deepest longings. It's about a Savior of the world coming who would grow up and leave that manger and take that long journey from the crib to the cross, into the grave, and out again. Friends, that's what Christmas is all about. It's about God coming among us, bringing his Son to us, who would take on our sin on himself. Now, I want you to think about how radical that is, that God loves us so much that he would take your sin in mind, bear it on himself on the cross, and in exchange give us his perfect righteousness. That's bizarre, but that's the truth of the gospel. Amen? That's why we celebrate tonight. That's what Christmas is all about, that he came to take our shame and our guilt away. You see, Christmas is about forgiveness. It's about reconciliation. It's about being forgiven all our sins, past, present, and future. It's about being reconciled to God, finally. But it's also about us taking that forgiveness and living it out in our own lives. It's about us taking that reconciliation that we've experienced and letting that flow into the relationships that you and I have. You see, friends, that's what Christmas is about. It's not about a baby just lying in a manger. Christmas is about God coming near to you and me. Did you catch who God sprung the news on when Jesus was first born. We know that, right? It's the story in Luke's gospel. We read in verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. You know, it's no coincidence that God chose to reveal the news that the Savior had been born to a bunch of shepherds out in the field, doing what they do day after day, night after night. You see, friends, it's a picture for you and me that God comes to the ordinary. God comes to us when we are doing those ordinary things day after day, night after night. And if you know anything about shepherds, we don't know a lot about them here in Arkansas, but if you go over there to Israel and you'll learn about them, it was a pretty dirty job, you can imagine, being someone who is out in the field all day long with a bunch of dirty sheep around you. You know, it's no coincidence that God came and revealed this news to the shepherds who were the dirtiest of them all in their community. It's a picture for you and me, isn't it? That God meets us right where we are. God comes near, and he meets us right where we are. You see, God doesn't say, go and clean up your act before I reveal myself to you, does he? No, he just comes. He just comes in our mess, in our brokenness, and he meets us right there. Friends, God came among us. That's why we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? It's not about us trying to earn our way. It's not about us trying to be these good people, right? We can't. But God came among us and met us right where we are. You see, I wonder, where do you need him today? Where do you need him to come among you tonight, tomorrow, in the season that you're in? Now, some of you may be able to answer that pretty quickly, but I know that there are going to be some here tonight, they're going to say, well, Robert, that's nice you're saying that, but I don't need him. I'm doing life just fine on my own right now. And I'd probably say, yeah, you're probably right. Life probably is going well. But you have needs, and there will come a time that what is satisfying you right now will no longer satisfy you. And you'll find something else to satisfy, and you'll find out that that also doesn't satisfy. You see, we're all alike in this room, aren't we? We all have needs. We all have things that we long for. We all have things that we're searching for, don't we? I want you to take just a brief moment. I want you to look around the room and notice what you see. Just look around the room for a second. I want to see if you notice this. It's not the beautiful decorations. Did you notice the banners on the wall? Hope, peace, love, and joy. You know, those aren't there for decoration. You know why we have them hanging on the wall? They're to remind us who the Savior is and what he came to do. You see, we're all searching for something. I wonder tonight if what you're searching for isn't one of those things on the wall. Hope, peace, love, and joy. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is this: where are they to be found? Where do we find hope and peace and love and joy? I wonder what brings you hope. I wonder what brings you peace. What brings you joy? Where do you go looking for love? You see, so often we look for hope in a person or in our career or in our financial portfolio. We look for joy in the latest adventure or the trip that we just took. We look for peace as we try to control the circumstances around us, right? You've been there, haven't you? We try to control the circumstances so then we will know the outcome and it will go well for us. Often we look for peace through controlling things. And we look for love in relationships, don't we? Relationships with a spouse, a friend, a child. But here's the truth I want you to see tonight. Hope, joy, peace, and love can never fully be found in those things that I just mentioned. They're good things. They're good things to have. But I want you to see hope, peace, love, and joy are only found in a person. And his name is Jesus Christ. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's why we have this service where we are rejoicing. Because hope came among us. Peace came among us. Love came among us. Joy has come among us. You see, I think that's why the heavens opened up to those shepherds on that eve when Christ was born. Because the one who is our hope, love, joy, and peace came among us. Listen again at the news. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Then suddenly there was with a great multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is well pleased. Friends, you and I miss Christmas when we leave Jesus in the manger. The celebration is because the Savior came. Do you know him? Does your heart rejoice at this good news? Or are you just kind of giving him lip service? The call tonight, the call is to come to the one who came to us, to save us, to give his life for us, so that you and I could really be people of hope. And our hope isn't in the circumstances of life. Our hope is not in what we hope is going to happen tomorrow. Our hope is in the one who came for us, who will never leave us, who will never forsake us. That's hope. And you want to know peace? And you want to know joy? It's found in the love of God, who gave his son for us, so that we could be people of peace. We could be people who actually live with joy, and that love would be the characteristic, the greatest character of our lives. I don't know if you can see that manger right there. He's kind of lit up around his head, but Jesus is in that manger right there. And you can't tell the shapes, but there are pink hearts all around him. In the earlier services we had today, the 2 o'clock and 4 o'clock family services, the kids came up and it was so beautiful. I wish you could have seen it. But they came up with these hearts that they had written on and colored, and they placed them in the manger. And I said, you know what? That's what he's wanting from us. He's not wanting a bunch of good works. He's not wanting a bunch of lip service. What he wants, friends, is our hearts. That's what he asks of us. He says, come and give me your heart, and I will give you all of me. And when he does, we begin to understand what hope is, what peace is, what true joy is, what love is. So my prayer for you this Christmas night is that you would come to the Savior, come to the one who longs to be these things for you, and allow him to so transform your life that you can't help but rejoice. Because the Savior of the world has come. Amen. Amen.